Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willie, founder of the Hat Trick Letter online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to goldradio.fm.
Well, it's good to be back. You know, we are getting closer and closer to some very big events, and I'm both excited by it and anxious. Anxious with a good side, hoping for a better future, but also a darker side that a desperate cabal is going to launch, who knows, two or three different doomsday-type devices. I don't know. These people, these cabal members, they will not give up easily. They will not give up probably at all. They will most likely attempt to cut a deal, violate it, and do their darndest to return back to their dominant position. But I don't think that tactic is going to work. I'm getting off on a quick tangent here, but I think we're in a very grave but high potential period of time for radical positive change, but with tremendous risk at the same time, because these are very, very dangerous people who have extraordinary weapons and devices at their avail.
Can you tell us how things are going at the Hat Trick Letter and how people can sign up?
Things are going great guns with the Hat Trick Letter. I'm quite busy with the work. Really, it's endless work. This is now mushrooming into 7 or 8 different areas of resolution and serious breakdown. But it's golden-jackass.com. I've got the flagship newsletter, only one. I call it the Hat Trick Letter, and I'm not a hockey fan. I just like the term hat trick. They use hat trick in soccer, too, like in European, South American soccer. They call it the hat trick. They even say hat trick in Spanish. They say hat trick. Ganó el hat trick. That means 3 goals. All right. I got the console button. That keeps me busy. The sponsor button is wonderful when it's hit, and it got hit recently, and honestly, I go to my knees and thank the Lord, because that's a 4-figure donation. I'm happy to say, Jim, I've gotten rid of the PayPal connection. Some call it PissPal. Some clients call it PayPuke. And I think they're on a death spiral. So I'm very glad that I have severed my ways with them. I still maintain an account. Might come in handy someday. It's good to have a PayPal account, even if it's just like a $5 balance. So the Hat Trick Letter is going very, very well. I'm staying quite busy. Coming up on my 20-year anniversary, I'm getting a bit tired. This is hard work and not much in the way of vacations.
The Fed, interest rates, and the bond market, is there trouble brewing?
Yes. In late November, the Fed got tired of the stress in the bond market. I'm talking about the Treasury bond market. And I write pages and pages about this in the last 4 monthly newsletters. If you want to learn a lot more in a very complex situation for an event that is once in a century, you should sign up and read about the detailed account that I provide. This has got many, many sides to it. But in late November, the Fed under Jerome Powell, I think, deceived the bond market and the financial markets. I mean, by that I mean stock market and currency market. The Fed in late November and early December indicated, without doing it, without making the decision, they indicated that they were going to do a rate cut in early 2024, and it would be more than one. So the Fed funds futures indicated four later on, I mean, after a month, after Christmas vacation and early January, when the Fed had not met, no FOMC meetings. So they were using Fed open mouth meeting mechanisms, open mouth, rather than decisions at the board. And the Fed funds futures indicated four or five rate cuts through the year. Well, January came about and they started walking backwards. And February came about and they actually had a meeting with a lot of expectations for a rate cut and they gave none. And they took away the indication for the next Fed meeting and they made an absurd statement that we just don't have enough price inflation. Well, if you talk to John Q. Public and Jill Q. Public, they'll tell you that food prices are up, insurance is up, utilities are up, pretty much everything is up in price and way more than what the officials tell us. We're going to get a very big act of vengeance against the bond market because they're not going to lower interest rates. What they did was they talked about rate cuts. They engineered a bond rally. The 10-year Treasury went from 5% to 4%, roughly. They had a slight currency decline with the dollar, and now they've taken it back. They haven't said, we will not cut rates. They're just talking sideways, and if you interpret their language, which is not that hard to do unless you're really stupid, they're taking away the rate cut. We're going to get a bond market decline. We're going to see it move back to 5%, probably go higher. We're going to see a stock market decline. It could be rather large. And we're going to see the dollar strengthen a little bit because they're not going to do the rate cuts. For those who are not very good students or not very, let's say, practiced students with the currency market, the dollar responds to interest rates. If you lower the interest rate, you're going to see a decline in the dollar. So expect a bond market decline, higher interest rates, 5% on the 10-year. Expect a stock market decline. Could be rather big.
We keep hearing inflation is dropping, but what is likely the real rate of inflation?
Oh, I don't know exactly. Maybe 10%, 12%, 14%. But here's a rule of thumb that has been rather accurate for the last 5 years. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is roughly 7% higher than the official reported figure. And they're doing everything they can to keep the figure down. I'm not certain about this, Jim, but I think they took out food and fuel. They took it out in order to keep the rate down. I think they justified it, but I'm not sure. I think they justified it by saying that they're too volatile. Well, isn't that handy? Since it's so volatile, I guess we don't need to buy gasoline and we don't need to buy food because it's volatile.
I think they took housing, fuel and housing out of the equation.
Fuel and housing.
Yeah. So you don't need a place to live and you don't need to get to work or ship goods around.
Well, that's handy. Yeah. That's very handy.
Yeah, it is.
And the person who started this corruption in the Consumer Price Index was Robert Rubin, Clinton's Treasury Secretary, who quit 6 months before the end of the Clinton's second administration. Rubin quit 6 months early so that he could short the stock market and make a few more million dollars. Robert Rubin. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for introducing CPI corruption. Thanks for introducing the geometric mean as opposed to the arithmetic mean. They don't add numbers together and then average them. They multiply them together and take a big square root type, you know, like the fifth root, the 20th root. It's kind of a log average. Anyway, that is tremendous deception, and their goal was to reduce the perceptions of price inflation and reduce the amount that they had to pay out for Social Security and government pensions. The inflation rate is easily 6 to 7% higher than what is reported. Therefore, the economic growth is 6 or 7% lower than what they report. So if they're reporting 1 or 2% for economic growth, then it's really 5 or 6% recession. That is a depression. Couple the inflation, and you've got inflationary depression. That's what we have now. I don't accept economic statistics in the form of lies. They're easily refuted, and you really only need about a 7th or 8th grade education in mathematics to refute their falsified statistics. One of the easiest ones to declare false is they say the unemployment figure is like 4 or 5 or 6%, when it's really 20%. If you look at 1 minus the participation rate, it's really 20-something percent if you count the people who don't have a job. Because what they're doing is they count the people who receive state unemployment insurance. And after it runs out, they're no longer unemployed. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, just when the system lets them down the most, they don't count.
Right.
What's the latest?
Why don't they just put a bullet in their head?
Sell bullets. What's the latest on commercial real estate and bank failures, and should people be concerned?
They should be extremely concerned because the banks, most of the banks in the United States are insolvent. Most of the banks, as a result of the financial regulatory bill of 2008, are required to buy treasury bonds, which means most of the banks are suffering 40% declines in their portfolios, and the FDIC has put out information that the big banks, it's not really the big banks, it's the banking sector that has usage of the FDIC insurance. The bank sector in the United States is $750 billion in the red on their portfolios, but they're not sold. They're not selling. That's an unrealized portfolio loss. Why they don't sell. Now, there are so many big banks in the red that if they start selling their portfolio, it's dominated by treasury bonds, and what they would bring about is a macro effect and a micro effect. The macro large-scale effect would be that they would put a lot of pressure on the treasury bond toward a default, because one bank would sell, another would sell, the interest rate would go up, the yield on the bond would go up, and the value of the bonds would go down, called principal value. And as more and more big banks sell their bonds and portfolio, the value would go down. It would induce other banks to sell because they're realizing that this is getting momentum, and it's called convexity. I talk about this in the newsletter, and it's a dangerous concept. It's why they don't begin to sell. They're not marked to the market on their books. They're marked to book value. They don't show tremendous losses. They don't want to announce their insolvency. And one of the biggest investments that they have outside of treasuries that has really cratered is commercial real estate. Now, remember, it was 3 years ago we had the lockdown. 3.5 years ago we had the economic lockdown. And the medical sector declared a fake pandemic, and they made an illicit order to shut down the economy and do the best they could to keep people home, and that wrecked a lot of businesses. It also destroyed the banking system. So in a sense, the two-headed fascist monster used to be just the medical sector. I'm sorry, used to be just the banking sector, but it popped up another head of the medical sector, and the medical sector shot the banking sector because the banks could not make money if people did not work and pay their mortgages, if people did not populate the office buildings so that commercial rents could be paid, commercial mortgages could be paid. And now we've got a cataclysm of commercial real estate. It is not just the United States. It's also Europe, England, Australia. I've heard that it's even in Japan. And look what happened to Evergrande in China. I don't know if we're going to get to that, but that could bring down the entire Chinese economy. because they don't have any bankruptcy procedures. Okay, should you be worried? Yeah. If you got a brain that works, you should be worried. Yeah. Banks are caught in the middle during this bond market crisis. Now, they gave out in late 2021, they called it the COVID stimulus. It was $4 trillion to the banks, and then it was $5 trillion more to the banks. And believe it or not, in the congressional bill, they put in a clause of nondisclosure for 18 months, which is absolutely illegal. Don't tell the people, don't tell the electorate that $9 trillion was given to the banks. So that was what the doctors gave as a gift for what I call hush money to the bank sector. But they can't do it again because the nondisclosure NDA expired, and now the people know they can't do it again. So the banks are in trouble. They're insolvent. They're basically hollow reeds that do not lend money. So if you're looking to buy a property, good luck in getting a mortgage approved. If you're looking to buy a commercial property, well, you probably have a lot of them to choose from, but you may not get funding to buy it. So should you be worried? Yes, if you have a functioning brain.
Gold continues to be trading in a range around $2,000. Is this price stability good for gold?
Well, the price of gold should really be $3,000 or $4,000. It'll get there. But every time that there's a significant event, whether it's, you know, pro-dollar or anti-dollar, whether it's pro-inflation or anti-inflation, they take the opportunity like they did yesterday to do naked shorts on the gold price. And yesterday, price went down 20 bucks in an hour and a half. They have a phrase in the gold market. They call it Good Morning, New York. Good Morning, New York means the price just went down $20 because New York opened. They brought on their naked shorts. It's a criminal activity. Gold is their favorite item to criminally influence and profit from, exploit. Okay, notice something unusual in the last few months. Even when they knock gold down, it comes back up. I've heard a nice metaphor. It's like gold has a balloon or a basketball attached to it. When it goes down, it pops back up. Often the same day, usually the same week. So they're not going to be able to keep it down below 2,000. And there's a new factor involved here to guarantee that it doesn't stay down. It's the Chinese Shanghai market. They have dominant control of the gold market. The Chinese withdrew 10 banks from the London gold fix, the London LBMA. So for all gold-related activity in London, the Chinese don't participate. Afterwards, the London Gold, I think it's called the London Metal Exchange, they brought about a new gold contract, and it is only denominated in Chinese yuan. They do not have a dollar-based gold contract in London anymore. But the COMEX remains, you know, perfectly corrupt, and the phenomenon that I was referring to is that Shanghai lifts the gold price up because they determine the price. So in midday in New York, they try to drive it down so they could buy it, because by the end of the day, the Chinese are driving it back up during our night. So the New Yorkers don't want to go to bed, don't want to go home to have dinner while they still have a short in place. So that's one reason it pops back up. I've been following what I call the Delta, the difference between the Shanghai gold price and the COMEX. And it got as high as 117, 115 back in November. But now I'm noticing that it doesn't stay high for long because they drag up the COMEX price to reduce the delta. So, you know, let's be simple. When it becomes more obvious that the U.S. government debt default is going to occur, I think we're going to see a tremendous crisis this year where the words bond default are used a lot. When that happens, the gold price will go up, 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 up. And I think in very large jumps. There's nothing like a bond crisis to drive up the gold price. This is going to be an event of the century. The U.S. government debt default. I made the forecast in 2011 that in 10 years we're going to be talking about a U.S. government debt default. It's been 11 plus years, 12 plus years, and here we are. I also said in 2012, we're going to have $1 trillion deficits for the U.S. government as far as the eye can see. And we got that, and now we're getting the debt default threat.
Are institutions purchasing homes in anticipation of Agenda 2030 where you'll own nothing and be happy about it?
I think so. I noticed something back in 2000. It was post-Lehman. Lehman was 2008. I noticed in the next 2 years that there were some experiments being conducted. I believe it was largely BlackRock, but not only BlackRock, private equity firm. Now, whenever you hear about a BlackRock activity, you hear Vanguard in the same sentence. And when you hear about dominance, you hear about State Street as the third player. But back in 2009 and 10, I kept hearing about hundreds of homes being bought in the Southwest, primarily in Arizona, by BlackRock, following Lehman and all the home foreclosures. I believe they were doing an experiment, and it was so successful that they took that program nationwide. There are a lot of people who had difficulty paying their mortgages when they were unable to earn income due to their employer shutting down. When they shut down, they did not continue with regular income. And here's the twist. Most of the mandates to shut down came from BlackRock, which exploited the situation for lack of employee income and exploited the situation for home mortgage foreclosures to do the buying. That is crippling with the left hand and buying with the right. So this is what the United States has come to, an $11 trillion private equity fund that has become predatory. The fascists have one big characteristic for their actions. It's predatory. They have one main action that is prevalent as well, and that is war. War and predatory actions. I don't know how exactly they're doing it, Jim, but they're influencing the utility companies to raise their electric rates, raise their gas rates, natural gas, and the other utilities to raise the cable TV rates, to raise the internet rates. And most every client that I talk to reports a double or triple of their home utility rate, their bill, their collective bill for the month. Add them all together, double or triple what it was before the pandemic. Now, you could say, well, yeah, the utility companies have higher fuel costs. Well, sure. Why do they have higher fuel costs? Could it be because the same group of cabal members are blowing up diesel plants and blowing up chemical plants and calling it sabotage and, you know, poor security systems or whatever? Well, take a closer look and you'll see the Langley hand. The sabotage is being done by the cabal members to exploit the situation to bring about such incredible stress to the households that they foreclose and then BlackRock buys it up. This is a really sickening situation. And what I'm hearing more and more of, and I'm not hearing this like this is the new trend. I'm hearing that this is happening on an increasing basis, but it's still not common. People are not paying their mortgage and they're not leaving their homes. They're remaining in their homes as squatters, not paying the banks. They're saying F you to the banks. Okay, this is civil disobedience in a very big way that would make Henry David Thoreau extremely happy. By the way, I used to go to Walden Pond when I lived in the western suburbs of Boston. I used to take a little bike path and ride my bike 3 or 4 miles to Concord and swim across Walden Pond. It's a beautiful place. And it's also a nice walk, like a mile and a half walk around, and you can see the remnants of Thoreau's cabin. He would be very happy with civil disobedience, and we need a lot more of it.
Are the fraudulent bankers and the satanic globalists working together?
I think they used to, and maybe about a year ago they stopped. I reason that when the COVID stimulus stopped, the bankers and the bank sector executives realized that they had been inflicted a mortal wound by the globalists. That includes pharmaceuticals, national health agencies and organizations, World Health. So about a year ago, when the NDA, non-disclosure agreement, ended for the COVID stimulus, the banksters took their $9 trillion, and I'm sure they were able to get a nice new boat and get another nice mountain cabin, chalet, but they've run low on funds, and they're having trouble with their annual bonuses. And I think the fraudulent banksters have been trapped. I talk about this in some detail in my January newsletter that was posted 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, almost. I believe there's a major split. I believe that J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon, the executive, were trapped. Trapped with respect to Epstein and his investments and managing money, and trapped with respect to the U.S. military and the management of the Chinese connection. And as a result, it looks to me like they went after the top kingpin in the banking sector and got them to flip. I believe J.P. Morgan flipped. We're going to see more evidence of this. It is not verified in seven different ways. It is indicated in numerous manners. And I like to get out in front of certain big developments and make my postulates, test them, find out more information. And so far, so good. It looks like the fraudulent banksters draw the line. They do not. These are the areas where the fraudulent banksters will not cross. They don't want planetary destruction. They don't want human species turned robot, cyborg. They don't want the global food system destroyed. They don't want the air and water destroyed. They want to maintain the U.S. economy and the European economy as a viable host so that the banksters can continue to operate like parasites. And I believe in the next chapter, they're going to have a role, but it would be less dominant, less acting like a parasite. And what they are going to be tasked to do is assist in bringing down the satanic globalists. So I pointed out this several months ago. You may remember, Jim, I said there's a war going on between the European and the American bankers. I pointed out a European bank entity, financial entity, was using narcotics money for investing. They have found a way to invest narcotics money. They use narco money to build up narcotics money laundering. There's so much of it to buy your home and to buy up S&P 500 companies. Narcotics has taken over the technology sector and the financial sector through the big private equity funds. I find it interesting that very few analysts talk about narcotics funding, but Putin did mention money laundering and that function in Ukraine. But what we have now is a situation where the fraudulent banksters have been trapped. They've been doing money management involved with treason and crimes against humanity, and they've been given a task to turn in and help capture the globalists who are trying to destroy the planet, destroy the nation, destroy the economy, destroy the environment, and destroy the human species. And the fraudulent banksters say, we will not cross that line. Now, this is going to come out in the next several months. I've taken a little bit of heat on this, and I don't mind. Let me make a general comment, Jim, that if I took back a bold forecast or an analytic point, every time a bunch of people told me that I was crazy, I would have very, very fixed forecasts. So one of my methods for verifying a correct forecast is that I have a quiet, that's not the right word. I have a minority corner that calls me crazy. Thank you for calling me crazy. You are the timid. You are the stupid. You are the poor researchers, and your rejection of my forecast is a confirmation which you will see in the next several months.
We'll have more with Jim Willey right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. Did you watch the Tucker Carlson Vladimir Putin interview?
I watched many parts of it, and I read many more analyses of it, and I read many different speculations and interpretations. I'm more interested in smart people's review than I am of the actual words, but I saw a good portion, and I'll tell you a few things that that I really believe are the case. This is breaking new ground in news reporting. For instance, I heard that it's well over like 150 million views that Tucker got regarding Putin in the interview, more than the Super Bowl number of views. The questions were rather simplistic, but maybe they had to be to avoid a serious confrontation. It was more like, well, let's do a getting to know you meeting, and we'll give you the mic, Putin. We'll give you the microphone, and you know, you can answer the question, but you can go off on small tangents. But it was an opportunity for Putin to speak to the United States citizenry, and Putin put it very well when he said that the American people are not getting the real story about their own country, about the dollar management, and about foreign policy regarding Ukraine and Israel. The American people are not being properly told what's going on. And I think that's very true. There's a number of interpretations that I believe are appropriate. I believe Tucker is beginning to act like a statesman in sort of an ambassador role. You know, remember, we would have Kissinger run around the planet and play the China card in 1970s and early 80s, and Kissinger would go around and meet other heads of state. Well, now we got Tucker Carlson doing that, while the Biden show has people like Blinken, clowns like that who are not even welcome at the houses and homes and offices of heads of state. So who's running the country? Who's running the State Department? In a sense, you could say Tucker Carlson is acting kind of like a news reporter and kind of like a leading figure in the Department of State. There's more. Putin is funny. He's engaging. He's insightful. He says things in simple terms that simple Americans can comprehend. If a regular citizen in the United States saw the interview, he or she might walk away saying, golly, I don't understand why the press is making him out as such a demon. Okay, so that's one very important point. They want to get wide exposure for this interview so that they can educate the U.S. public on a few matters, a few, like it was election fraud, like there's no protection of the southern border, like you're not told the truth about Ukraine war, like there's tremendous multi-billion dollar money laundering going on in Ukraine. Okay, Americans are not told what's going on. Look for Substack to become a rather influential, prominent structure for new internet popularity. And it's something that I think the cabal and big tech are going to have a very difficult time controlling, because it's going to come largely out of Twitter X. I still call it Twitter X, because if you say X, people don't know what you're talking about. I wish they'd give it a better name. Maybe it's a temporary name before it has a regular name. But why not call it, you know, Triple X, something besides X? imagine the look on Tucker Carlson's face and the reaction of liberal retards in the United States when Putin talks about child trafficking and narcotics trafficking and the shutdown of adrenochrome farms located all across Ukraine. Americans don't know about that. They're going to find out sooner or later. Putin might be the chosen one to reveal the Ukraine crimes against humanity. And I think this is beginning to happen. There's going to be a follow-up. I've heard that there were 15 invitations from major news reporters from 15 different countries trying to follow up where Tucker left off. Okay. Now, Putin also said that a group is managing the Biden show and has managed most of the U.S. past presidents. And that could be very much the case. We'll find out their names soon enough. Putin says there's never a change. You get a new president, it's always the same group. So he's implying that the same high level echelon group controls both parties. And that's why you hear the term uniparty. And now you're getting a lot of focus on the Republicans who are really Republican in name only. That's what the rhino is. It does not have an H in it. Putin made some funny comments. He said the U.S. manages its own borders as well as it managed the 2020 presidential election. Putin mentioned that he hopes for global warming so that the Siberian lands could become more productive as farmlands. And he also said that a U.S. football is very strange. It's an interesting sport, but it's very strange that it's called football when it involves your hands. So those are some comments about Putin. You know, I hear various things about Putin, and I know that this is probably at least the third version of Putin, but I just got a lowdown intel drop from the Florida wingman, a military source of mine, and he's expanding his contacts with that. And he said, Jim, are you aware that how many people you think have played Biden? I said, oh, gosh, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5. He said, well, the number is actually 18. So, you know, the Biden show is like a bad movie. And what we're doing now is we're breaking the screen so that we can see who's really running the show. And behind the scene with the puppet strings is Obama and Victoria Nuland. I don't know exactly what the crime is called, Jim. If Obama is running most policy and taking orders from the Rockefellers for energy policy and taking orders from the military complex regarding war, and Nuland is carrying out the foreign policy, including war, what exactly is that crime? I mean, you could say, yeah, that's high treason. Well, I mean, is being a Rasputin a crime? Was Kissinger acting with treason with respect to Nixon? Is the Secretary of State ever running policy? Well, these are very interesting political questions. I leave them for the political science experts in the end. But Putin is revealing the fact that Biden is a puppet show. And I believe we're seeing one by one the members of the Biden show, the actors on stage, one by one they're being removed. And now you're seeing a lot of pressure on Biden himself. Like I believe yesterday there was a physical exam, and they went out of their way to say there would be no cognitive test as part of the medical exam. In other words, we're going to do a check of his heart, his pulse, and you know, maybe if he can move his arms and legs a bit, but we're not going to check to see if he knows what country he's, what month we're in, or what day of the week it is, or what his family members' names are. There are calls now to invoke the 25th Amendment and to remove Biden. I believe they're resisting because they know that Kamala Harris would be disqualified quickly, and they're waiting for them. This is going to be a grand comedy.
Is World War III shaping up?
Well, you know, a lot of people thought that Ukraine was going to spark World War III. But Russia decided, well, let's just keep it all contained in Ukraine. Let's smash the underground trafficking and money laundering. And when the NATO Nazis show up in Kiev, we'll use our behind-the-scenes spies to get their location, get their GPS location coordinates, and we'll give them a supersonic bomb. So he never took the bait, even though there were attacks inside Russia, he never took the bait to expand the war. He always kept it within Ukraine and, you know, near the borders. It never went into Romania. It never went into Poland. It never went into Hungary. Hungary and Romania have small borders, short borders. Poland has a long border. There's a lot of talk about Ukraine being carved up, and the Ukrainians will get the nub, which is Kiev and maybe 150-mile radius. Putin never expanded the war. He has increased the activity. He's increased the number of soldiers involved. I actually talked to a client. It was an Arab fellow, and it was in, I think it was Bahrain, or I can't remember exactly. He spent a lot of time in Bahrain. I can't remember where he came from. Anyway, he talked and he said, Jim, I've met maybe half a dozen Russians. They sought asylum in the Persian Gulf monarchy, and they were given it. They wanted to avoid being tossed into the Ukraine war. Now, there is like 20-to-1 ratio of kills. Maybe it's closer to 50-to-1. Russians are dying, but it's not 100,000. It's not 400,000. I saw a pathetic picture last week, Jim, of a man with Down syndrome wearing a Ukrainian uniform. They're pulling into military service Down syndrome kids. They're pulling into military service women. They've got a contract for new uniforms that accommodate pregnant women. This is a slaughter. It is becoming quite apparent that Zelensky is going to disappear, but his mission is to reduce the population and to allow maybe an unbelievably grand migration into his country after he's eliminated a good portion of their population. But they still got a lot left. They've had more exodus than they've had kills. They've had several million leave the country. They're going to Western Europe, England, Canada, United States. I know a few clients who've met a few. I've got stories. So Putin has resisted, even though there have been some pretty serious events. Like a year ago, they blew up, the NATO folks blew up a bridge near Odessa, a very important bridge. I don't think the Russians are going to expand the war. They haven't. It's been 2 years. They have not expanded the war enough. In fact, they're bringing about an attrition and a reduction and infighting. It is reported now by certain, what I regard as reliable reporters of Ukraine, like Slavigrad, it is being reported that Zelensky is handing over GPS coordinates of Zaluzhny, who's the top general, so that Zaluzhny can be killed by Russian missiles. Okay, this is how it's coming. So we're not getting World War III. We're having an internal implosion in Kiev.
Are we in for a long-lasting pandemic of vaccine side effects?
Yes. Edward Dowd has done a tremendous job in highlighting the estimated vaccine injuries with lost jobs, disability, you know, worker disability. I have to go home. Sorry, I can't work anymore. I have a nervous disorder. Or I have a spinal problem. Or I'm time after getting a vaccine. Hear that clearly. I'm sick all the time after getting the vaccine with a double X. Let me repeat that. I'm sick all the time after I just got the vaccine and the booster, the double X vaccine. I'm sick all the time. Well, that's what it's designed for, to rip out your immune system. Okay. I suspected, Jim, that the vaccine, when I heard about it in like mid-2020 and later in early 2021, I suspected that it was going to be extremely harmful and a killer agent, and my number one area of concern would be immune system damage. And then the evidence came out. I mean, people who take the vaccine and the booster are subject to gullibility, fear, and ignorance. I asked my college roommate, Bruce, did you read anything about the adverse effects, the VAERS? He said, no, Jim, I think that's pretty much controlled. And I said, where'd you get your information, Bruce, from the New York Times? He said, yeah, my doctor. What's wrong with that? And I said, well, what's wrong with that is if you continue to follow it, you'll be dead in 6 to 12 months. He was dead in 5 months. Okay, we're next going to see the effects of vaccine injury in a big way regarding the economy. And there's some theories, speculation, that the people coming in across the border, unvetted, and who are given like $2,000 and all kinds of welfare, health and food supplements, they may take some of the jobs because the vaccine injured can't work. And It's not just a few. What Edward Dowd, I think, revealed was that for every death from the vaccine with the double X, there are 4.5 injuries. So if we had 5 million dead, we got about 22 million people who are vaccine injured and can't work. This is the year I think we will see many becoming rather obvious zombies. I've probably gotten 20 reports from clients. Jim, I used to know Martha and Bob, and we were friends, but they got vaccinated, so I left them alone for a while. Well, we finally got together 18 months later, and the two of them look like they've aged 5 or 6 years, and they're kind of vacant. And I asked them basic questions about, you know, stuff going on in the world, and they don't know anything about anything. They're kind of vacant. It looks like they've lost some of their minds, and they've aged a lot. I've gotten about 20 stories like that. So my bad joke is that this is the year of it depends diapers. This is the year that you have Martha and Bob over, and they have an accident on their hindquarters that leaves a big brown stain on the sofa. We're going to see zombies this year. It's a gradual process of degradation. And this aging is from removing the control of the telomeres. What it means is the body replicates much fast, 7 times fast, resulting in a quicker age. The slower the telomere rollover, the slower the aging process. I liken it, Jim, for people who can't quite come to grips with the chemistry of telomeres. Imagine that your face is like a picture that gets reproduced on a photocopy machine. And you don't make copies of the same one. You make a copy of the copy. Then you keep making a copy of the 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 copy. And that's what aging looks like. Well, after you do that 1,000 times, you get a very blurred and not very attractive face. Well, that's what happens to the body. What is so different about a boy or girl age 17 and the same man or woman age 37? What's the difference? Additional copies of the face from the photocopy machine. Okay, if you speed that up, you get rapid aging. In addition to rapid aging, they got a wrecked immune system. So they get sick. Let me repeat that again and again. They continually get sick after taking the vaccine and the boosters. They're continually sick. Now, you can explain to a moron that it's the variant, so they need another booster. And then they get sick again. And then they need another booster because there's a different variant. And after a while, the moron cannot reason his way out of a box. And then he needs an adult diaper from Depends. Mission accomplished. The person's no longer in the person's very close to a cemetery plot. And it gets worse. The insurance companies on an increasing basis are declaring that the person signed up for an experimental injection and is no longer, eligible for life insurance.
There's an mRNA cancer vaccine on its way. It's already approved in the UK. We're hearing it could be 10 times the strength of the COVID boosters. Your thoughts?
That's pretty much what I think it might be. They didn't kill people fast enough, so they're going to convince the morons. I saw a great graphic. It had a picture of 30 people in a clown outfit in a line. And it said, this is the line for boosters. 30 people in clown outfits waiting for their booster. I doubt in any long line for the boosters is a person with over 100 IQ. I know some really smart people who took the vaccine and the boosters. This thing cuts across all classes, all incomes, all races, all educational levels. It's an amazing phenomenon. I've actually got a friend who had a business partner, and his wife ignored my friend's advice, took the vax, took the booster, dead in 90 days. His brother, dead in 3 months. His sister-in-law from another brother, dead in 5 months. His father, dead. His uncle, dead. And other cousins, dead. 7 deaths in his family, and he wants more boosters! Unbelievable. The level of stupidity, ignorance, and denial is astonishing. So, if the United Kingdom is coming out with a cancer vaccine. You know, what they really need to do is to teach people that cancer is permitted like an open fence and cattle driving through as soon as you reduce the effectiveness of your immune system. There are many, many cases of skin cancer being fixed and cured, and the skin cancer blotch is removed, gone, healed, as a result of a very bad sickness where the person's immune system kicked into gear, overcame the virus, and at the same time knocked out the skin cancer, which is considered to be one of the most mild forms of cancer. They're not in the medical sector trying to kill us.
Is it coming out that Trump won 2020?
It is, and it's really quite amusing. I've probably read it now in four or five different areas of our society and analysis and, you know, publications. They're trying to acclimate public into realizing and conclude that the election fraud put Biden in place with his show of actors. And the more the people believe it, the less the risk of a civil war. And at the same time, people will probably resist removal of Trump from the ballots. And maybe they'll get in the way or object to Trump being brought forward for prosecution on flimsy charges. It's becoming a comedy of using the court system as a political weapon, like the New York court case of income tax, well, tax violations, and, you know, false estimates of asset values, things like that. Then there was the woman, I can't remember exactly whether it was a rape charge or whether it was some sexual discrimination or sexual impropriety, but that got thrown out. The other got thrown out. I think Jack Smith, the New York judge, is eventually going to be on the run. I'm not even sure he has the proper oath of office. I'm really curious about the Colorado Supreme Court and whether that action by their Supreme Court would backfire on them. Is it a treason charge to remove the former president, Trump, from the ballot on the basis of insurrection when he was never charged and never convicted of insurrection? Why don't they just say, we can't have Trump on because of treason and mass murder and grand larceny and conspiracy toward corporate fraud and sabotage, all these things that have never been charged with? Why not? Okay, Colorado has made a mockery of the court system. New York has made a mockery of the court system, and it's going to backfire. Yeah, the people are waking up. The people are being slowly drip-fed because some of them are too fucking stupid to figure it out on their own. But they have to be told. Looks like Trump won the election. Looks like it was fraud, the election. It looks like the U.S. military and NATO Rammstein was influencing with satellites. That's what we've been saying for 3 years.
Could farmers and truckers be the heroes that save the world?
I think they're going to be eventually heroes. They're very brave people. They're not earning money when they're blocking the roads of Paris and blocking the highways of Germany. They've been joined by truckers in Poland. And I've heard and read that now it's something like seven or eight countries in Europe that are in strike. And the European Commission harlot whore, Ursula von der Leyen, has caved in and said we need to listen to our farmers. Well, maybe that could be because Brussels and Paris is very short on their food supply. Could that be? I'd like to see the European Commission dissolved. I think that might be eventually an objective of the European farmers on strike. Since when do unelected officials have the right to try to destroy and capture the farm sector? They're trying to capture the farm sector so they can turn it off and produce tremendous famine and death. We need to gather these European Commission leaders. We need to gather the Davos leaders. We need to line them up, list the charges, prove the charges. One of the most promising things about the European farmer strike is that they don't want small concessions. They don't want promises. They want quick action. They want immediate progress and remedy. And some of them are calling for Macron to step down in France. And for those who don't know it and you don't know how to research your way out of a box, 2 years ago, Macron lost the presidential election in France. And they gave 300 million euro bribe to Marine Le Pen, who won. The bribe was to go away. The bribe was to give. She has not left politics. She's still in the political arena in France, but she's no longer fighting for the office of president. She's left that to the Emmanuel Macron. This is going to be very interesting, but I have full expectation that Macron in France will be forced out of office, and Schulz in Germany will be forced out of office, and the leaders in Netherlands will be forced out of office, and Boris Johnson and his little henchman, can't even think of his name, he's got an Arab name, he's the Prime Minister of England, it's a joke, these people are all going to step down. They're going to be forced out of office. So yeah, the farmers and truckers took bold steps in ways that the people who sit back in the United States and Canada and wait for things to happen did not do. And I think one of the people who will be forced out of office is your Trudeau, will be forced to step down. It's going to be interesting to see who the people are who take over the president and prime minister post in these countries, because they're going to try to put one of their buddies who will continue the same policies.
It seems like the pendulum has started to swing back from a Marxist totalitarian takeover. Does it just seem like it, or is it actually happening?
I think it's actually happening. You've got to convince people that the system is not working. Convince people that their incomes, their livelihoods, and even their lives are in danger. You have to convince the people that their children will not have an opportunity for a happy life or prosperity. You have to convince the people that their leaders are killers, involved with genocide, involved with major fraud, national frauds. Okay, you know, I struggle with the English language. You have theft, you have petty theft, but then you've got larceny and grand larceny. What's the name of the crime if you stole $5 billion? Is that still grand larceny, or is there a better word for that? What is it if you profit from genocide and your stock went up $500 million? Well, is that just fraud? Is that just grand larceny? Well, at the national level, I think we're lacking in names for the crime. We have a big pendulum swing, and it was bound to happen, and I give credit to the Internet. If they did not have the Internet for the truth movement, for the anti-vax movement, the anti-mandate movement, anti-war movement, anti-climate change movement, we didn't have the Internet, we'd be stuck with the nightly news, CNN. Well, I just got some good news. CBS just laid off something like 10 or 15% of their workforce. To me, that's 70% not enough. These major networks are going to sell out for like 30 cents on the dollar of what they were worth 5 years ago because they embraced lies. So yeah, the Marxist totalitarian movement is in reverse, but believe me, this is not over. We've got the entire migrant problem. It's probably in the United States up to 30 million that have come in. Now, if just one in 200 of them is military age joining a sleeper cell, now, we got a big problem. Okay, you cannot have 100,000, 200,000 operating as a sleeper cell. And I got a quick story to tell you. I did a client consult call 2 weeks ago, and the guy said to me, Jim, I live in Los Angeles. I own an Airbnb. I got numerous apartments in the building, and I walked in to collect the rent because they were a little behind. It was a group of migrants, and I've never really bothered them. I don't know where their income or funds come from, but I walked in on the apartment, and there was an open crate full of pistols and ammunition. And I said, was it a crate like 18 inches high, 2 feet by 3 feet? He said, yeah, about that. So he said, I said to the three men, what is that? Knowing exactly what it was, 20 or 30 pistols and ammunition. And they said, you're not allowed in here. And he said to them, I'm the landlord. This is the United States. I can walk in anytime I want, especially if I think there's criminal activity going on. Okay, that's just one of many, many stories. I got another one about a year ago. Client called from Reno, Nevada. He said, on any Saturday, you go downtown Reno, and several different street corners have 5, 6, 7, 8 migrants. They're not 25 years old. They're Arab, they're Latino, and they're just standing around. Okay, that is a threat for civil disorder, civil war. We're not done. This pendulum has to come the other way, full swing, and convince the people that they need to follow through.
This past week in Canada, one of the largest mainstream media companies just laid off 10% of its staff. Are people getting tired of being inundated with propaganda?
Yeah, that 10% is 70% too low. We need 80% of them to be laid off. If you look behind the scenes, you'll probably see that they have a tremendous decline in their ad revenue from lower viewer audience, and they're being supplemented by secretive sources. I don't know what they are. I've got my suspicions. Could be the Soros Foundation. Could be narco money. Could be anything. Don't know.
What's the latest on the Biden show, and could it turn into the Michelle Obama show?
I just got a graphic two nights ago from a client, and it was a big 7-foot Sasquatch shown from behind with a big ass and a very hairy body. A 7-foot Sasquatch. And it said, Michelle Obama hits the campaign trail. I think what we're about to see is a calamity for the Democrat Party in the United States. And I think this is how it's going to go. They've lost the center. They've lost, you know, middle-class centrist thinking. They're not really conservative. They're just pro-family, pro-business. Leave me the hell alone. I just want to have a happy life and raise my family. They've lost them. The Democrats have lost them. And they're left with the extreme. So you're getting some extreme candidates. I don't even want to mention names. Because one by one, they're all being rejected. One by one by one. And the first one being rejected is Biden. Okay, this is when in the last 40 years have we had a president serve one term and then stop? The answer is Papa Bush. He served from 1988 to 92, and why did he quit? Two reasons. One, he had been the Rasputin running the Reagan administration for 7 of the 8 years after they shot Reagan. And the other reason is that his narcotic buddy ally on the Democrat side, Clinton, was ushered into office despite all kinds of controversy. I found the Clinton election to be one of the most ridiculous, laughable elections in modern history. One after another woman who was sexually abused, exploited by Clinton. They trotted out bond fraud evidence, but Clinton won 85% of the woman vote because he's a good-looking guy. What does that say about the vote process? I hope Michelle Obama is their candidate. I think it would become one of the biggest comedy circuses ever in the history of U.S. politics. I want Michelle Obama to be confronted like Hillary was never confronted. What political experience do you have except having cocaine parties in the White House? I want Michelle Obama to be confronted about his Oregon State football career that was cut short as only 1 year, where he was known as Michael LaVon Robinson. I want to have his family background brought to the fore of his father, a Chicago City Hall wonk, and his mother, a crack whore. Yeah, let's bring on Sasquatch, the hairy Sasquatch, and start the Michelle campaign trail. Bring it on.
Jim, where can people subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter and talk to you directly?
It's golden-jackass.com. This April will be the 20-year anniversary. This has been a long road, longest job I've ever had. I cannot say that it's been the most enjoyable, but it has been the most valuable and full of impact. My favorite job was marketing research from 1982 at Digital Ickman Corporation. My favorite by far. www.golden-jackass.com. Sign up for the newsletter. There's only one. Subscribe button, yellow, right in the middle. Sign up for a consult. Hit the donation button. I got rid of PayPal. They're no longer part of my life, no longer influencing and squeezing out ridiculous, excessive fees where I have a considerable amount of money out of every dollar. No more PayPal. I've had two clients. One called it Piss Pal, another one called a Pay Puke. They're gone. So hit the donate button. Help me out. Support my mission. There's also the sponsor button. That's for wealthy types who want to support my mission and make sure that I'm healthy and strong and of good spirits, because I get hit once in a while. I get harmed. I set myself up by speaking boldly. Like, who knows? Maybe Michelle Obama will try to have somebody hack into my website because of calling her Sasquatch, calling him Sasquatch. I saw a picture of Michelle Obama, by the way, with about a three-week beard, three-week growth. Well, this is what happens when no longer the first lady. Sign up for the hat trick letter. Learn what's going on. I've got a lot of correct forecasts in the last 20 years. I give credit to my colleagues. There's three or four of them who are very steady aides to my analysis. There's one who's a tremendous news hound and graphic hound. He supplies me material every single day. Hats off to you, Andrew from the Andes. But I got others. I've got others. I call him George from the Comex. I've got Sky Crane. I got Euro Raj, who's brilliant, and they all help me a lot. And you know, this is really strange to say, Jim, but I've got 30 to 50 clients who are multi-year clients, and they supply information every single week, some of them maybe once a day, most of them two or three times a week, 30 to 50 clients. Jim, you got to see this. Such and such means. And I give like a quick response. Sometimes it's a great graph. Sometimes it's a nice piece of information that I include. So I've got a lot of assistance, and it's great. Assistance with a CE at the end, because they're not my assistants with a TS at the end. They're just clients who want to contribute to what I believe is an effective newsletter. So sign up and make a donation, make a consult order. Thanks for having me on, Jim. It's always interesting, and I appreciate having the floor.
Jim, thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
My guest has been Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.